Today's scripture reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 1 through 11. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to that place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in the office at the time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. He brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of all the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your house." The word of God for the people of God.
I am so thankful for our brother in Christ. I'm so appreciative of the great job that he does. Doesn't he do a great job? Absolutely wonderful. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Fill us, Heavenly Father, with your Holy Spirit. Come. We are open to receiving it. We are your people. We are brothers and sisters. We are your children gathered as your church. Thank you for your living word. Thank you for your love and grace. It's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. The story is told about a man who was stingy and miserly. In fact, people looked at this guy as a real skinflint. Now, don't elbow the person next to you right now. Don't point to somebody else saying he's talking about you. Listen. One day, one of the folks in the town was given the task of serving as the chairman of the community charity. He decided he was going to start with the town skinflint. Start at the top. He was determined to get a contribution from him. After all, if he could get this man to give, he could get anyone to give to the fundraiser. So he knocked on the skinflint's door one day, and when the stingy miser opened it, the fundraiser said, "Look here, our records show that despite your wealth, you've never once given to our community charity." The man looked at the fundraiser and became red and enraged with anger. "Do your records show that I have an elderly mother who is left penniless when my father died? Do your records show that I have a disabled brother who is unable to work? Do your records show that I have a widowed sister with three small children who can barely make ends meet?" The embarrassed and humiliated fundraiser looked at his neighbor in a new light and simply said, "No, I'm sorry, I didn't know." And the miser looked out at the fundraiser once more, still flushed with anger, and said, "Well, if I don't give to any of them, I'm not going to give to you either." Amen?
Amen.
You know, putting God in his proper place is actually a ridiculous statement when you think about it. Because God is in his proper place. Whatever our actions, whatever our words, whatever our approach to him, his approach to us remains the same. God is in control. God is in the primary place. God reigns. How do we respond to that truth, to that reality? You know, I'd done something earlier with that apple. Took two massive bites. I don't know if it's turning brown or not yet, but I'm going to finish it later. I'm not going to waste it. Just wanted to let you know. And I wanted to do that because sometimes I think we're like that as well. We just see whatever we want. Grab it. Bite into it. Devour it. Without even thinking about God's providence. Without even thinking about God's place in our journey. Without even thinking about anyone else. It's all about us. Looking Out for Number One was a book that was written a number of years ago now. It became very popular. I believe it was in the 70s. And what it did was create a very self-centered generation. For us as Christians, we are called not to be self-centered, but selfless. Now, does that mean that we need to be doormats? Of course not. Does that mean that we need to stop taking care of ourselves? No, obviously. But how can we take care of ourselves best? If we give God the glory, if we remember that God is number one in our lives, and that's our most important relationship, and then we live and speak in a way that shows that. Sounds simple, doesn't it? And yet it's a challenge. It's an awful lot of work. The words in the scripture today are words that speak to a people that had been wandering, that speak to a people that had become dry and parched and had done it for year after year after year, and now they were about ready to go into the promised land, and yet there's this doxology that they need to be able to offer. A love letter, if you will. A theology is created. And theology is one of those intimidating terms. But I would invite you to recognize that theology are simply, it literally means our words about God. Words about God. Do you have words about God? Do you have words that you would use to describe God? Okay. Then you have a working theology. The theology that is spoken of here is a theology of praise of this God. Of this God that is at work, has been at work, and will continue to be at work. Remembering how God has been at work is something that we see again and again and again in the Old Testament. Stories are recounted. And different leaders, very well-known biblical figures in the Old Testament, generally all had times whenever they recounted how God blessed them, how God was at work in their lives. That's important because wisdom is important as well, and we need to pull from that. Wisdom from the past, regretfully, anymore is sometimes trumped by the latest bid for our loyalty. Things come at us, advertising to us, sharing with us that we need it, and that our life is going to be so much better if we have it and if we get it. My gosh, with some of the commercials that are out, if we could just put ourselves into that scene, we would be having a wonderful, fun-filled time always. The party would never end. Then we start thinking, what are we celebrating? What is the basis? Is there real joy? Or is it simply instant gratification? Wanting to be, quote unquote, happy. For us, we recognize that happiness is something that's external, something that we try to seek from the world. Joy can only be something that we receive from God. Let me repeat that. Joy, true joy inside of us, is something that we can only receive from God. That is a reality. That is the basis of our faith. And that also provides an awful lot of hope. Three things need to be stressed in this particular scripture passage this morning. First of all, God made the first move in claiming Israel for a people. God always makes the first move. We start thinking, where is God? Had countless conversations, prayer times with individuals, wanting to experience God's grace, seemingly wanting to experience God's grace, and yet all along they have been running around, scurrying around, not settling themselves, not taking a few moments just to quiet themselves inside and to receive the presence of the one who's already there. Think about that. God's presence is already there in your life. God's providence has already been providing, and yet oftentimes it's simply our distractions. Nothing really even important, maybe, but simply our distractions that keep us from experiencing that abundant love. Isn't that amazing? Profound. Because we're distracted. Maybe because we're too busy. We're missing out on God's grace. Another point. Israel was the victim of great oppression in Egypt. What does this speak to us? We might go through difficult times. We might go through challenging times. And we might feel at times that we're out wandering in the desert. And yet, we also understand that God is a God of constant love. God is a God who continues to have his touch of grace upon us. Those are biblical truths. Not simply what I feel, but those are biblical truths that I offer to you or remind you of this morning once again. That God who provided before is still with us today. And even if we're going through desert times ourselves, or valley times, or however you want to describe it, we talked about mountaintop experiences last week. Now we're talking about more by getting in the nitty-gritty, getting the sand in the sandals, jamming our toes, frustrations, difficulties. God's still there and knows and experiences what we're going through along with us. And then finally, the land that Israel possesses or goes into still belongs to God. What does that mean? The first fruits, like an apple for instance, are offered to God because it's his land in the first place. We recognize that as we receive the blessing, it's a blessing from God. As we have a church to worship God in, as we have a church to continue to build God's kingdom, as we have a church to do ministry out of and to receive all into, no matter where they're coming from, no matter what brokenness, no matter what hurt, this is a house of prayer. This is God's house. It belongs to God first. And boy, what a relief that is. It's not all on us. It's on God. We simply must follow. If we realize that the blessings that we receive, if they're truly about joy and not simply happiness, are from God and they belong to God anyways, then it's going to be a lot easier to share that blessing. I was driving on the interstate yesterday, and I was driving along and I saw a pickup truck, and that's okay. And then it was pulling an RV, and that's certainly okay. And then behind the RV was a trailer, and getting a little bit odd here. And behind that trailer was another trailer. And I thought, wow, this person needs to have their toys with them so much that they have two trailers in addition to their RV. I apologize if I've kind of touched upon a nerve here. But what do we gather? What do we save up? You know, is it about, you know, that phrase, whoever dies with the most toys at the end wins? Guess what, folks? It's not true. You can't take it with you. This past week, I was involved in a profound experience, received a call from friends in Christ who'd shared with me that a brother in Christ had had a massive heart attack. Well, as I got to the emergency room, they directed me to a side room, and I knew what had happened. Anybody who's going into there is probably going to receive news that's pretty challenging. And this brother had died before he hit the floor. The suddenness, life and death. Amazing. Although I've been in those situations countless times, I still find that they affect me deeply. One moment here, the next gone. What are we doing in those moments here? How are we putting God first? How are we giving Him the glory and the first fruits of the many blessings He fills our lives with? I'd like those to be some thoughts that you ponder as we come into a time of prayer, silent prayer, and discipleship. And as you hear the music play, simply to reflect on that. How are we putting God first? How to say to God, Lord, how am I putting you first in these moments that you've blessed me with? They're so fleeting. Lord, I seek to have more joy from you, not simply happiness from things that I accumulate. And I give to you first. Receive God's blessings now.